So much news, so little time. This is the news according to me. Goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. Goodness and graciousness. I don't know. Where that saying ever came from. My goodness. My gracious. Got some tea here this morning. Tea with honey. Well, of course, there's a little bit of sugar. And some liquefied coconut oil. Keeping the old pipes smooth. For your morning enjoyment. Listening enjoyment. There's some things going on, folks. Worth talking about, even though I don't like the fact that these are subjects that are to be talked about. I wish the subjects weren't even coming up. I wish we were talking about, look at the economy and what it's doing and how well it's doing, and look at the progress we're making with. Yeah, whatever. A couple things today. I'll just tell you right off the bat. We're going to talk about the packing of the Supreme Court, which is moving forward. This phony little council they had to make it look like they were making an informed decision, bipartisan decision. And they had of course, at the same time, they're running through this legislation with D.C. We're going to make D.C. a state, which means we'll have 51 states and 102 senators. And I can bet you you know what kind of a state that's going to be. It's not whether it's going to be red or blue. I'll let you guess. And then you've got, of course, the potential for other states as well to pop up here. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with 55 states before this is all over with, at least 53. But there could be more. At the same time, you have all this other stuff going on in the news cycle, which is makes it easy for them to sneak stuff through. And this is where we get it gets complicated because we have. Lots of stuff going on, and that overwhelms the system. This is part of the Rules for Radicals plan, where they overwhelm the system. And then you can't pay attention to. In fact, one thing sounds just like another, and then just when they're talking about a $1.9 trillion stimulus package or infrastructure package or whatever they're talking about, everybody remembers it gets confusing. You don't know how many packages there are out there that they're trying to push through, how much legislation there is. There's HR 1, there's HR 51, there's HR. It gets really, it keeps people confused, and it's by design. They do this on purpose. See, there are people behind the scenes who have, I call them social engineers. It's not, one administration. It's not just Joe sitting up there in his office deciding how to do all this stuff. There are hundreds of people really involved in this process. And most of them are little Indians. There's a few chiefs. Now, you look back at Obama's administration. Obama's administration was primarily run by Valerie Jarrett. Now, she was not the one with all the ideas. She was the one who was the brains behind the Obama thing. Now, Obama was very good at presentation. He was very good at making speeches when he had a teleprompter in front of him. Very slick, very smooth. He could say the things that just, that just makes sense. If you were listening for 30 seconds, it would make sense. If you didn't use your brain beyond what he said, it made sense. And that's the slickness, that's the part of that ability that he had. His speechwriters, of course, were part of that as well. They are immersed in the social sciences and the way people think and the way people have the ways to deceive people and the way to get things past the public. This is they have people on their staff who just do that. That's all they do. They're constantly polling and creating these just the dynamics of what words to use when you're talking to the public. Things like constitutional, like when Nancy Pelosi would get up and talk about, this is a constitutional crisis, this is a constitution, we got to do things by the Constitution. I don't think Nancy even knows what's in the Constitution. But she was told to use that word. And of course, for the children, for the sake of the children, we got to save the children. So that's always another one. The children are polling high, but their little focus groups that they have to determine which phrases, you know, fit best with their little slogans and sayings and everything that fits. That way they can get it across on the nightly news and their little sound bites. That's how this works. So don't think for a minute that this is just all random stuff that they're saying. They have focus groups with words, you know, phrases, and they put those out there. This is what we're gonna just like recently, they even kinda let it slip. It actually got out that the Biden administration would no longer be called the Biden administration, but be Biden-Harris administration. Very, very, you know, very subtle, but also very, very purposeful, very deliberately crafted to create the narrative that they need. And this is where it goes. And it's, so don't think for a minute that the powers that be have any interest in just, you know, speaking their mind. They're, as I've said it before, and I will say it again, probably a million more times, the end justifies the means with these people, and they have, you know, no end. We're 100 days into this administration, and they're already introducing legislation to pack the court. They're going to add 4 more justices to the Supreme Court. As I said earlier, when the SCOTUS decided that they weren't going to take any election issues up on based on standing, not based on content. In other words, it wasn't relevant to the Supreme. They basically were saying it's not relevant to the Supreme Court. We can't take it based on standing. Not based on evidence, not based on anything else. They just didn't want to take it. So it did not apply to the Supreme Court. This is where he went with that. Took a lot of chutzpah. Well, maybe not so much. If they got something on you, I guess it doesn't take much. The amazing thing to me is that they just keep getting away with this. And they are moving at breakneck speed right now in terms of politics. This is extremely, all the stuff that they're just sweeping into place. Now, and this is all on purpose. And once in a while, you have to step back and take a look at the big picture. And, it, you know, you have to get that 30, like, I guess the popular saying now is 30,000 foot view. Well, I've been up at 30,000 feet, and you can't really see much from up there. It's just, you know, country looks pretty small. Typically, it's hazy, and you can't really focus in on anything. But the big picture, and again, for those of you who work in companies where they say, well, you know, you're just a guy down here doing the, you know, running the screw gun. You don't have the big picture. I'm telling you, this isn't working on this. The line, you know, we're putting these together like this, and it's not going to work because you're not going to be able to repair it. And secondly, it's a stupid way to do this design because it's going to break. Well, you don't see the big picture. Yeah, you don't understand. The people up in the office, they see the big picture, and they're going to move ahead with this. Well, I've been up in the big office, and I have yet to see a big picture. There's just a bunch of little pictures around there. I looked all through the walls, all over the place. There wasn't any big picture up there. Yeah, the truth usually is that the people with the big picture, supposedly, are the people who are too busy doing other things, like diversity training. And they don't have time for the quality of the product we're actually doing or the quality of the service we're actually offering. It has nothing to do with any of that. The patient or the, if we're not, like in a hospital, the patient is just sitting there going, are they going to get my appendix out? And okay, is it going to go okay? They don't care whether it's a black doctor or a white doctor or whatever. They just want the best doctor. And yet that's, you know, I guess if, my appendix isn't woke, okay, it doesn't care. It just, just needs to come out. If you're building a travel trailer and you're putting something together and the guy on the line goes, hey, this isn't going to last. All these are going to break. And they're not paying attention up in the office. And then they say, well, we had problems last year. We can't give you guys a bonus now because we made these trailers and everything broke. We had a bunch of recalls. Yeah, well, I was the guy waving my hand saying, hey, this isn't going to work. Now you shut your mouth. Or we're going to reprimand you. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with all that. I'm just making stuff up right now. It's all a bunch of conjecture. Stories. It's story time here at the News According to Me, and I'm telling the stories. So we have all this stuff going on. Well, all this is by design. Now they have to get all this done quickly. And this is why they're moving at such rapid pace. They have about a year, really, to get all this stuff done. They really can't go much into next year and doing a bunch of legislation that is very unpopular or could be deemed unpopular. They have to get it all done relatively quickly this year. One for one, I really don't believe that Joe Biden is going to be president by the time, the 2022 elections roll around. Everybody keeps talking about his second term. Well, that's because they do this for his second term. There's not going to be a second term for Joe. There ain't no way. Things are deteriorating very quickly here with Joe. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but this guy is the epitome of an empty suit. He comes out and makes statements all the time, and he's obviously reading from he has now kind of developed almost a repeatable cadence and system to his speaking. In other words, he kind of has gotten into this groove and he can't really get out of it, and he's kind of got it down to where he just kind of makes a statement, makes the speech, and this is the way it's going to sound every single time he makes a speech now. And I am convinced, I'm beyond convinced myself personally that when he does speak off the cuff, and this is because of the way he talks, and I'm kind of an analyzer, I'm an analyzer, let me say that really carefully, of the way people talk, the way they speak. And one of the things that he does when he's speaking, when he doesn't have a teleprompter in front of him and he's speaking, he's answering questions or he's in a discussion with a group or he's making a statement, the way he speaks and stammers and stutters around, and I'm not saying stutters as in like an actual a person with a stutter. I'm talking about it like it's more of a stammering in his speech. He's listening to something in his ear. I guarantee you, he has got an earpiece in and someone's telling him what to say. And if you haven't noticed, Kamala Harris is almost always with him now, all the time. Why is that? I never remembered seeing Pence or even Biden next to Obama every time he would make a speech or talk about something. It wasn't, she's got to be there because I guess she got hired as a caregiver more than a VP. So a couple big things that they're talking about doing legislatively. Let's talk about the legislation stuff right now. They're talking about four more people added to the Supreme Court. Now, they also had made mention of a, this isn't in the legislation, but this is something that's probably going to come next, because they have to get certain people out of the mix there, and they have to be able to rearrange the court so they can do what they need to do. They need to add four justices, and this, of course they do. They can't just add two. They have to add four, because two could, you know, theoretically be overturned by if the next presidential cycle, it becomes in 2024, becomes a Republican administration. So you can't have can't just have two. You have to have four. Now, what they're saying is there needs to be more representation on the Supreme Court. Now, this is the where we get into big philosophical and ideological issues with the Supreme Court. I want you to understand real quickly. I'm just going to cover this real quickly if I can. I'll probably go off on some tangent and take about an hour. The Supreme Court was not meant to be a representative body. It is not a legislative body. It is a legal body. It makes determinations of the law. The law is not supposed to be balanced or tipped in any direction for any particular people group, ethnic group, skin color, gender, anything else. Because our foundation was based on individual liberty, individual rights. And again, as JFK said, the rights of every man are threatened. Maybe it's the other way around. The rights of every person are threatened. I think it is. I think it's threatened. Yeah. I'll look it up real quick. When the rights of one man, I think it's where the rights of one man are threatened. And that's, I don't know. It's too early. Okay, I got to remember this. I don't have this stuff written down. I'm going to look it up here while we're talking. There we go. Let's do that. See what it says. I probably should have put JFK in there. Yeah, let's do that. JFK. There we go. Let's do that. So they're packing the court here with more people to get the left wing. I guarantee you they're going to say this is because of. Here it is. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. So the basis of our SCOTUS, of our legal system, is to be based on the individual rights to be protected. You're presumed innocent until proven guilty. We're not seeing that today, are we? The court of public opinion decides before you ever have a chance to go to court. And that court is influenced by the fact that cities will burn or whatever's going to happen, because if you don't make the right decision. There was recently a town council meeting. I saw this happen, reported this, where they were voting for something. I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of a legislation. It was actually good legislation. They were going to pass this thing, and a whole bunch of people came walking in the door and started throwing a fit. And they were very disorderly, protesting. And they were all part of one group. This wasn't individuals. This was an organized protest. It wasn't just mom and dad down the street that came in and with a bunch of other mom and dads down the street, and everybody was upset about it. It was a group, probably not even from that area, came in and protested this thing. And sure enough, the town council backed down, didn't pass the legislation because they were scared. This is called mob rule. This is how the mob takes over. They threaten and fearmonger. It doesn't take that many people. It just takes the certain number of people in the right positions. A very small number of people can take over an entire country sometimes. So as we do this, as we move forward with this. Understand that the Supreme Court now, and my opinion is they're going to have a rotational Supreme Court. So they probably have 14 people on the court. They will probably have about 20 or so people, or maybe even 28, that will rotate through. It will be part of a rotation. So you won't always have the same people on there. This is a very astute political move as well. But the law should apply equally to a person, whether you are male or female, light-skinned or dark-skinned, Christian or Muslim. The laws of our country, the rights that you have, should be based on nothing other than the fact that you are, that you exist. You're an individual. And you have every right. You have no greater protection than that. But now we have laws that create protected classes. And there, as I've said, they're going to continue to protect classes and groups and certain life choices until there's only one group of people who are left that have no special rights or who aren't protected, have no special protections. And guess what? Everybody else has special protections except for that one group. This is the way they divide and conquer. They will eventually start to feed on themselves. You've seen that a little bit, some outbursts occasionally where there's arguments within the group. And they start to eat their own. Because one group will attack another. Ethnos will rise against ethnos. That's what the scripture says. People group will rise against people group in the end times. So they have to divide us all up into those little people groups so they can... So your identity is found in that group, not in who you are, not in who God created you as an individual. But all of a sudden you feel a part of a group. You are now, you have an identity now. That's not who God calls you. That's just who they call you. And that's a sad thing to throw off the identity that God is calling you to and just to accept some other identity. Very sad thing. So that's the SCOTUS. That's one thing there. And of course they had this little phony idea of some kind of a council that they're putting together, make it look like they're really thinking about this whole thing, which they're not. They already had the legislation drawn up before they even got there. Before this council even got put together, they will probably get away with this. And I know that there's a few Democrats that don't want it in the Senate. They're probably going to have a little harder time there. However, I do not put it past these slippery people to be able to pull something off. I know Manchin has always said a couple of times, most of the flip-flopping Republicans in the Senate will probably not go along with this. Most of them won't. I don't think Romney will go with this. I don't think that Murkowski or whatever her name is. I don't think some of these people are going to go along with this. I do believe, however, that they will be able to pull it off with a 50-50 vote with a tiebreaker from Kamala. That's what I think is going to happen. Now, they may wait. They may wait to do this. Technically, there was a time, whether or not they're going to have a runoff election or what they're going to do in D.C., I'm not sure how they're going to do this, but you know what's going to happen here. At the same time, they're pulling through this legislation for D.C. to become a state, which means they will have, potentially, 52 senators. So they probably will have to, if they're going to have to see, kind of see what's going on before they make this official, before they run the SCOTUS vote thing through, they will probably, what I call pack the states, because they're going to have, instead of having 50 states, we're going to have 50, 51. Now, they've also talked about, I think it's Puerto Rico and someplace else. There's several other territories that they've talked about making United States, part of one of our states. Which means they get two senators and some, you know, House representatives as well. And in the process of doing that, they are now packing the Senate. And when they get enough votes to do that, then they can pack the court. And then they can ram through whatever legislation they want to in the next year. Now, they really need to get this stuff done before July. My time schedule, what I've kind of looked at this in terms of, okay, how can they do this and get it done? And here's the reason. This is the reason that they need to get all this stuff done before the first part of the year, or into the first part of the year, is because people will remember and be more outraged by election time. So then they have a 2022 election coming up, 2022, the midterms, and that's coming up. And they need to have this stuff kind of done and behind them so that people will forget. And people do. Now, Republicans don't so much. But they will come up with some way, and probably through by changing the voting laws, because if they get all this stuff done by July or have it all in process and just kind of overwhelm the system and get a bunch of stuff flooded through, in some ways, I feel if Judge Roberts on the SCOTUS has a problem with this, boo-hoo, buddy. You had your chance. You had your chance to make this right. You ignored it. He'll probably come out and make some statement about it. Oh, this is, you know, we're breaking with tradition or blah, 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 whatever he's going to say. I don't know what he's going to say. My guess is they don't want him in there as the Chief Justice. And I would believe that they would probably make it so that would be a position that would, I don't know how he became, I don't know how that works. Do the other justices vote on the Chief Justice? That's how he becomes the Chief Justice? Or is it just is that one position that, when he retires or passes away, does he all of a sudden now, the next person that fills his seat is the Chief Justice? I don't know what that is. I don't know how that works. I need to look into how the Chief Justice is decided. Well, hey, I got the whole World Wide Web here in front of me. I can just type that in here. How is the Chief Justice chosen? Well, let's just find out. Chief Justice is appointed by the President and confirmed by the Senate. There is no requirement that the Chief Justice serve as an Associate Justice. But 5 of the 17 Chief Justices have served on the court as Associate Justices prior to becoming Chief Justice. This would suggest, it just look, without looking into this any further, it looks like the President could actually decide who Chief Justice is going to be. And the Chief Justice does wield some power because they can, what happened here with the elections. he ended up being able to say things about the election, being able to take the case. Apparently he had some influence on some of the other justices on the court in terms of how they voted. That's just rumor, but I would not doubt it. Somebody just steps in, they've been there for a month, and you tell them, no, we're not going to vote on this, because last time there weren't riots. Okay. You know best. So we have that going on, and then we have the states thing going on. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to pack as many states as they can. Of course, they're all going to be predominantly Democrat, definitely very blue, very, very blue states. And again, they're going to want more stuff. Now it becomes more of a budget issue again, because now we have to provide services there as well. We already had been to some extent, but now it becomes even more intense. So the money starts flowing even more. And we need trillions of dollars to adopt these states to help them bring them up to standards for their roads and bridges. They need infrastructure. We've adopted these new little baby states.
Just our little babies. We need to take care of them. Because it's for the children down there in wherever, Puerto Rico, whatever, wherever, whatever.
So we do all this stuff, and this is going to be interesting. So we have these more, yeah. So there you go. There you have it. We are seeing within the first 6 months of this presidency, within the first 6 months here. We're not even, 4 months into this? Not even 4 months. And we're seeing just an incredible amount of just one thing after another. $6 trillion, so far, $6 trillion in spending. I mean, they've got another year and a half yet, more, to introduce more spending. What are they going to do, just get it all done the first 6 months and sit back and do nothing? You think that's what's going to happen? No, they're just getting started. These guys are just getting warmed up. They need to get all this stuff in place so they can make it all the rest of their stuff happen. Then they can start cramming everything down. They can get, gun control. All this stuff's going to happen. This all hinges on them being able to take control of the Senate and the House now and keep it. And they will. If they get voting rights, voting legislation passed, which becomes a centralized control of our voting system, our election system. If they get that done, they get the SCOTUS passed, and they pack the Senate. We're done. That's it. We're done. We've become a socialist blue state, and basically a Marxist state. And I think they're pushing the bear a little too far now. I think that they're going to find out that there's, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know if there's any political will to really fight back against this at all. I do know that once it happens, it is going to be an overwhelming onslaught. It's not going to be a few broken windows and it's not going to be like that. And one of the things that really concerns me is about the military. They're giving people, they're finding that 30 to 40% are extremists in the military. They're going to give them more training, more sensitivity training or whatever they're going to give them. I don't know what they're doing. Because they're concerned. Well, you see, there's this group called the Oath Keepers. Now, the Oath Keepers, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what they had planned on doing. All I know is, they were sworn to uphold. They basically swore. Most people who step into office, whether you're in military or whether you're in the, in political service, you swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, if you take that for what it is, just on its face value, then we are all breaking our oath by letting this crap happen. And the Republicans, who never cease to amaze me in their ability to bamboozle everybody. Because here's what's happening here. This is what's happening. They love to be in the position of having no power. They love it there. Well, we're going to fight like hell. That's what they say. We're going to fight like hell against these Democrats. We're going to really fight. We're going to get in there. We're going to fight. How many times did they vote to repeal Obamacare when it first passed and they didn't have control of the House? How many times did the Republicans introduce legislation in the, what you call it, in the House to repeal Obamacare? I think it was 134 times. I think there was 134 resolutions put forth to repeal Obamacare. They won back the House. How many times did they vote to repeal Obamacare after that? Yeah, about that many. That's about right. Yeah. Even if they did introduce legislation to do it, they didn't vote for it. They didn't put it forth. None of the Republicans voted for it. They had control of it. They could have done it. if the Republicans really meant what they were saying. But they didn't do it. They didn't repeal it. And then when they got the presidency, the first 2 years, they had the presidency. They had every branch. They had the Senate, they had the House, they had the presidency. And people in the House, the Democrat or the Republicans in the House that were rhinos, were so appalled and and the reason so many of them retired was because they didn't want to have anything to do with the administration. They didn't want to associate with Donald Trump. Because they just felt like it was a lot of them believed in the Russian conspiracy thing. They sat back on their hands and didn't stand up to defend the president, even though most of them probably in their gut knew this is a bunch of baloney. They weren't sure what was going to be pulled off or what was going to happen. They didn't know what to believe. So they just backed off. And Trump was right about that. The Republicans, they fight like crazy. And the Democrats, they'll fight like crazy. They can be, just like they can be standing in front of a burning building saying that the protests are mostly peaceful. They can be standing in front of a burning ship and saying that there's nothing wrong with the ship. Well, the ship has it's a little bit overheated right now, but we're gonna take care of that. After all, it is on the water, and it's not going to be, it can only burn so far. Typically to the water line. That's all further it's going to burn. So don't worry. We'll be fine. But they'll stand lockstep to defend each other. Look at Cuomo. If Trump would have done the things Cuomo did, there'd be riots in the street. All the Democrats, and the Republicans, all the Republicans too, a lot of Republicans would have been all up in arms, saying the guy needs to go. And you see very few Democrats standing up against Cuomo or saying anything bad about Cuomo. Very few. There are a few, but there are not very many. For a very good reason. That's just the way they are. Because the end justifies the means. They don't want to, because it's going to be them next on the chopping block, and they know they have to each defend themselves. So, because they're all slimy. So we have this issue. So that's going on. I went a little bit longer on that than I wanted to talk about it, because I do want to talk about some of the issues with some of the shootings and stuff that have been going on, and it's just been absolutely this gentleman by the name of Mr. Wright. His last name's Wright. Can't think of his first name. It was just on the tip of my tongue. I got to look it up. I don't know where it's at. Okay, so former police officer, Kim Potter was the police officer's name. Now, I had heard two different stories. One, I had heard that she had been an officer for 26 years. The other one was that she had been, that she was 26 years old. Look at these pictures. I don't think she's 26 years old. It's hard to tell from these pictures I'm seeing, but 26 years on the force is a long time. She'd have to be basically in her 40s at least, possibly 50s. Dante Wright was shot, and this was a horrible accident. What was meant to be a taser, she screwed up and obviously shot the guy. Now, second-degree manslaughter charges is what they're putting against this one. That's what I've heard they're talking about that. This is where it gets really tough for me. People are people and they make mistakes. And if you start this precedent of every time a cop makes a mistake, they were going to prosecute them and there was no intent in her heart to hurt this guy. Okay, first of all, guy has a warrant. They discover he has a warrant. They did not pull him over for a air freshener hanging from his window, his rearview mirror. That is not what happened here. He had an expired license plate, called registration, they call it. So his registration was expired. They ran the plate. I guess they were following him. They ran the plate. Plate was expired. They pulled him over. They find out he's got a warrant on him. And it was a warrant for something fairly serious. I think it was a gun crime, gun-related crime. He's got quite a rap sheet. Okay, so this kid's not exactly a Boy Scout. Thrifty, clean, brave, and reverent. So he's not exactly that. He ends up finding a moment. There's three officers there. And I believe two of them were black, I believe. At least one of them was. And so they end up getting this guy. He's out of the car. And I believe his door was even shut on his car. So she's going to retain the man. And then as they're in the process of kind of switching control of him, there's kind of a confused moment there where he sees his opportunity. And kind of pushes her away, opens his door, and jumps in the car. So they hold the car door open, and they start to grab a hold of him. And there's, you know, all three officers are kind of right there. And she has her gun out. You can see it on her body cam. She apparently, in the process of, this is just incompetence on her part, okay? It's just a horrible mistake in the moment of confusion, which is, for the average person, I would say, okay, yeah, I understand the average person in that kind of a situation, but you're a professional, you're a police officer, you are trained in these tactics, and you pull something like this. I don't want to beat her up too much on this because you never know what else was going on at that moment, and they're concerned. You know, she's watching for, is this guy going to pull a gun? This is the way a lot of cops get shot. Okay, this is exactly what happens. Person gets back in the car, they realize they're going to prison, and they get desperate. They jump back in the car to get a knife or a gun. I've got another little story I want to tell you about that's pretty amazing. It's I got this one channel that I listen to. It's called Active Self-Defense. It does a really good job of analyzing different self-defense situations like police officers and individuals, stuff in other countries. It was just different robberies and stuff that happened. And so this guy, they're trying to, you know, maintain control of this guy, and they're also watching for, you know, the potential of a weapon coming out. Because he has been known to, he had one of his warrants had something to do with a gun crime. So he, in the process of doing this, she's got her gun out, not thinking about the fact that, you know, she shouldn't have her gun out. It should be a taser. She says, taser, taser, taser. Now, the reason they do that is because you're supposed to back away from the person that's about to be tased. My understanding was, you're supposed to say taser, taser, taser before you pull the shocking button. Maybe some things are different now than they used to be, but you could shoot the person with the taser and then you say taser, 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 and you hit the taser button. And of course, that all supposed to kind of happen all at the same time. So maybe it was just kind of a part of the thing, but you're supposed to back away from that person because you can be shocked and you don't want one of the pins hitting you. Now she shoots the gun and all of a sudden realizes that was her gun that she just shot him with. He drives off. And my understanding, there was also someone else in the car. Which is another reason why they didn't want him driving off. You're going to end up in a high-speed pursuit. You just can't let the guy get back in the car and take off. You can't let it happen. He's endangering more people's lives now. And now, had this guy... here's the problem I see with... This is where I see the problem with policing now. And maybe I'm just There was a time when we didn't have tasers, folks. Tasers didn't always exist. You had a billy club, and you had a gun. And they even carried little slapjacks around with them sometimes. There was a police-issued slapjack. Made out of leather, had a little lead pad in it. Thing that it was a handle with a little round kind of a cylinder shape, or I don't know how to describe it. It almost looked like a little spatula, but it was the lead part of it was a leather thing. And you slap somebody with that booger, and they're going down. You hit them in the jaw just right, they're going down. And it wouldn't leave a mark on you or them. Too much. But it was, and then you had Billy, you know, the Billy Club thing. You had the PR-24, which T.J. Hooker made famous back in the day. It looks like a tonfa. It goes, if you know what a tonfa is, if you've been involved in martial arts, there's a thing called a tonfa that's got a handle. It's like a stick with a handle on the side of it. That's what the PR-24 was. Well, that was kind of a hokey, gimmicky thing for a while. A lot of officers carried those. Now, there were things you could do with that thing that were very, very effective, extremely effective. But it was also kind of a hokey, gimmicky thing. Because a regular baton would work very well as well, if you know what you knew what you were doing with it. They could have controlled this guy. Why are we not training our police officers to control outside of pepper spray and tasers? Again, this is technology stuff that doesn't always work. You need to have good training in secure, positive restraint. And I don't see that in most of these police videos I'm seeing nowadays. The reason it escalates to gunfire, in many cases, is because they had no good self-defense hand-to-hand combat techniques. And granted, that takes a lot more training, and it takes a consistent amount of a constant amount of training. I mean, you have to be training all the time in order to be proficient, which it takes more effort. You can't just sit at the donut shop and be good at hand-to-hand martial arts stuff. It just doesn't happen. And not everybody is, not every officer, especially when you start introducing, the quotas that we now have to hire a certain number of certain things, certain types of people, they're not going to be big enough to take on somebody who's a little weasel who wants to get back in his car. And now he's dead. And she's probably going to jail for a while. Which I think the whole thing is an atrocity, but I think it's an atrocity that she's facing criminal charges. She made a mistake. This wasn't intentional. For all, practical purposes, I haven't heard anything bad about her as an officer in terms of her work performance. So but now all of a sudden she's a criminal. I don't buy that. Sorry, I'm not buying into the idea that she's a criminal. She had criminal intent in what she was doing. None. She just screwed up. And should she lose her job? Absolutely. Yep. Job's gone. She shouldn't be in law enforcement unless she's doing a desk job somewhere. But the idea that she's has criminal intent is just absolutely nuts. And guess what? None of this would have happened if the kid wouldn't have tried to get back in the car. If he wouldn't have tried to evade arrest, resist arrest, evade arrest, he'd still be alive today, sitting in a prison. And some of the other people that have been killed in this riot now that has ensued since then, as I think a couple people have died now in the riots that have flamed up over this whole thing. That whole area is a powder keg right now. Okay, the whole Chauvin trial is a powder keg waiting to happen. You've got a problem here, folks. And this is going to be nationwide again. We're going to see demonstrations in the streets again. They're getting ready for this. They're getting ready for it because they know, regardless of whether Chauvin gets charged or not, They're going to riot. Now, if he doesn't, if he walks, and here's the problem with this whole thing is that the media and everybody all along this whole time have been playing this guy out to be a murderer. He was murdered. This guy was a white supremacist. He was out to kill black people. He got up that morning wanting to kill some black people. They play this game where they vilify people to the point there's no other outcome. And then when there isn't any other outcome, when there is something that happens, it's bad. And then it all, because they need the chaos. You know, this is kind of backfiring for them in some ways, because now Biden's in control. They have the administration, and now all of a sudden, they don't want these riots. So they have to ignore them. They have to purposefully, you know, the media has to basically they have to pay no attention to this. All of a sudden, they have to purposefully, like this, was it a court build, federal court building? Got burned down. People were inside, out west. Was it in Washington or someplace, or Portland? I don't know. Place gets burned down. People are inside. They're outside yelling. You know, the people are trying to come out of there. And I'm not even going to repeat what the people were outside were saying to these people. They're just basically going after white people. If they were white, they were going after them. And they were going to kill them. That's not the kind of stuff that brings about unity, brings about healing in our nation. And having said all that now, I've got, you know, in the midst of all this stuff, there was another video I was going to tell you about this. This guy that has a channel called Active Self Defense. If you get a chance, look him up. It's really good stuff. He puts out 3 or 4 videos a day usually, sometimes more. I want to see if I can find his channel for sure. Make sure I've got it here. But yeah, now my internet's slow. This woman was in a, they were in a park, and there was a report of a guy, it was a stabbing that had happened. Some guy stabbed somebody, and he was basically walking around the park just stabbing people randomly. And he ended up kind of walking around this one kind of barren part of the park, and these cops were kind of walking around trying to kind of surround the guy, and I think there were 3 cops, again, female, and 2 male cops. I believe both of them were, here it is, right there, Taser almost gets Chicago sergeant killed. This is where you depend on that taser to the point where, active self-protection is the name of his channel. It's, the guy's name is something Korea. His last name is Korea. I can't think of his last name. It's a really good one. The last one he put out was about 15 hours ago, and this is what it's about. So this lady, they have this guy. He's kind of slooping around in some weeded area in this park. It's in Chicago. Now, if she had not been wearing her vest, she'd be dead. Most likely she'd be dead. The knife that he had was about the blade was at least, probably close to 12 inches long. And it was a rather large knife. And he was not a small guy. Now, he has the knife in his hand, and he has a couple bags in his hand as well, but he's walking towards her. The other officers are kind of off to the sides. And he continues to walk towards this lady. They're telling him, get his hands up. He wasn't putting his hands up. Wasn't complying with anything. You know, get on the ground, nothing like that. Put the knife down, nothing. They couldn't really tell he had a knife. It was dark. They're having trouble lighting the subject as well. So she finally pulls out her taser. She pulls out the taser, hits him, perfect shot. Hits the guy. Down he goes. rolls, you know, front forward, just kind of paused and fell forward. And as he fell forward, he rolled off to his side. As he rolled off to his side, now, keep in mind, if that taser wouldn't have, if it would have misfired or it hadn't fired or it would have missed him, you know, your next step is your gun. The guy's getting closer, and he's within 20 feet at this point, I think, which is, you know, it only takes about 16 feet. Somebody can basically get to you. If your gun's in your holster, you're going to get stabbed. He ends up rolling over to on his side. Well, that makes the pins come out. And he gets up again. And she continues to fire the taser off, but it's not having any effect. And he looks at her. He has his knife, and then he rushes her. The other officers didn't have a chance to fire on him soon enough. They were in a bad position, for one thing. They had not anticipated the rush. They thought he was down, thought it was over. This is where you depend too much on this technology. They didn't have a clean shot because he's rushing at her. If they would have fired, they could have potentially hit her. She now panics. She's in a screaming situation. She thinks she's being stabbed because he's taken this knife. And it to watch the body cam is extremely scary. Because this knife is coming at her, right at her stomach, several times. Just stabbing straight at her. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think she was being stabbed. I think she thought she was being stabbed. As she's backing off, and he had grabbed a hold of her, and she couldn't get, he had her right hand. I think with his left hand, he had her right hand, which is her draw hand. Now she can't get to her gun. And he's stabbing her. Finally, the officers get in position, they shoot, and kill a man. And it takes her a little while to get her composure, but she figures out, and she still wasn't very composed, but she figured out that she hadn't been stabbed, that her vest protected her. So she was okay. But I bet she is traumatically affected by that. Now, this being said, I know that every situation is tough, and in 95% of the time, police officers do an excellent job, and they do their job very well. You know, when you have people involved, there's always going to be that opportunity for mistakes to be made or for, you know, accidents to happen or for even for a bad cop in a situation. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever worked with the public or not. If you've ever worked in a position where you've had customer service or you had to deal with the public all day long, you start to get burned out on that after a while. Most people don't do well with it. The people who do really well with it and can do it for a long time are usually people who have they're very, they have a certain kind of attitude towards people. Let's just say they're not usually the most empathetic of individuals. And they, you know, they can put up with this and walk away from it. They can tell people off or whatever. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying that, you know, it takes a certain kind of personality to do that. And to keep doing it forever and not be burned out. And to actually, some of them seem to get some kind of enjoyment out of it. But it's twisted. So you have to keep in mind that police officers are 90% of their calls, or probably about 86.7% of their calls. And I do have to reiterate that about 84.5% of all statistics are made up on the spot. So the most calls that the officers get are domestic disturbance or domestic issues. In other words, a husband and a wife arguing, girlfriend, boyfriend, spat, whatever's going on. Neighbor type issue, one neighbor arguing with another, or just two people that are fighting at a bar, whatever. They're all domestic disturbances. You know, most of the time, you might get the occasional robbery in progress. And there's some merit to this idea that, you know, social workers could take some of these calls. They could probably take about 30% of the calls that police officers are called to. Because a lot of them, you know, could be trained in terms of how to deal with that. But here's the problem. You still have to have the police there because I used to do ride-alongs back in the 80s. I had a couple friends that were cops, and I used to ride along with them. And we were constantly showing up to people arguing, fighting with each other. And, you know, the small town I was in, there was never any robberies. Never got to do anything really fun. Cops and robbers type stuff. But the, you show up and tip, and so many times, if the officer does his job and according to what his, you know, position is to do, what he's supposed to do in the situation, a lot of times they both end up turning on the officer. Because here's what happens. This is the typical scenario. I'm not saying it always happens this way. Sometimes it's the other way around. But the man is supposedly getting violent. He's, you know, he's drunk or he's mad, getting violent, and the woman feels threatened. Or, you know, if that's really what's happening. Sometimes it's false too. But that, so you show up and that's what's being reported. So the woman's scared. Then the police want to take him away. And the woman realizes, no, I didn't want him to be taken away. I just wanted him to settle down. So then she gets mad that the police are taking him away. And they start to get into a fight that way. And then next thing you know, both of them are turning on the police officer. Or even neighbor thing that's like, what, you know, what are the cops doing here? Well, the neighbors called, somebody, some other neighbor called because there was a disturbance. And now all of a sudden you're in the middle of this whole thing and they're coming after you now. Mind your own business. Get out of here. Whatever. It's a tough job. That's all that to say is it's a tough job. And by golly, if they don't get burned out on that kind of thing, I don't know how you keep doing it. Really, I really don't. Because just talking about it makes me tired. But that's what they have to deal with most of the time. And so a lot of these officers, it changes who you are and how you respond and react to people. It absolutely does. So before we in our little armchairs watching a video of how some cop responded or what happened to him in a particular police situation, sometimes we need to back off a little bit and give some people the benefit of the doubt, or at least give them, just like this one council member, or whoever it was that recently, I think it was the chief police or whatever he was, he got up and he made the statement, this officer deserves due process. He was lambasted for saying that. He had to resign. They asked him to resign his position. She resigned. This was the same officer that this in the Dante Wright shooting. Why? Just for calling for due process. And due process simply means an investigation. We figure out what's going to happen. What all went on? What were all the factors involved? He gets asked to quit for that. Basically, he was fired. And guess what? I'll give you the color of his skin. No, it wasn't white. It wasn't a white man. I guess he's racist. I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. it's an anti-police, anti... This is anarchy. And here's what... I'm gonna boil it all down. I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to boil it all down to this. These people hate the United States of America. They hate what it stands for. They hate what it was founded on. They don't have an understanding of what it means to become a more perfect union. And that's really what, you know, with the foundation that we have and the rights that we have, the Bill of Rights, everything that we have, we were given the clay to create a nation that was the exception, that was the iniquity, the unique shining light on a hill for the rest of the world to see. What a true constitutional representative republic based on individual rights and the freedom to capitalize on your abilities. In other words, a capitalist society, which is a whole, that's also been vilified. It's also been abused. Can be. What that kind of society can be. They hate it. There is a bitterness and a hatred towards this nation and this country and everything it stands for that you can hear in their voices when they speak. Because this is not an ideology that is based on the foundational principles of our country. This is an ideology based on Marxism, socialist mentality, a communist collectivist. I'm going to call it collectivism. This is a collectivist ideology. And it is extremely dangerous. It has never worked, and tens, if not hundreds, well, absolutely hundreds of millions of people have been killed under regimes that are formed like this. Because you develop a ruling class, government becomes your god. And that's who you serve. And that's who you look to for your sustenance and your supply. And you become entitled. Someone else got something, so therefore I need to get something too. One of the things that was talked about in this one, I was telling you about the Eric Metaxas show yesterday, and yesterday afternoon show. Eric Metaxas had this show on about, the fellow was on about, he wrote a book about the history of collectivism, basically. And how back in the day, there was a time when in Europe, where the ruling class, they started beheading in France. They started beheading, I think it was over 30,000 people in a span of like less than 2 years were beheaded at the guillotine. They started with the rulers. I think the one king, even a queen. The ruling oligarchs that were there, they started killing them off. Then they started killing off the rich people because they had all this stuff and they were rich and greedy, and they had to kill them off because we want your stuff. So they killed them. Then it became certain other kinds of groups. They started killing off. And there was the hoarder, the people who actually set stuff aside. They still had food. They still had things. And because they saved up and had something, they started killing them off to get their stuff. Now, before long, you kill everybody off. There's nobody left. Now you become nothing but a killer, and that's not really a skill that produces anything. So then the hordes of people, they just descend into chaos. Everyone's stealing from everybody else. If you try to do anything to better yourself, you're the next target. Because heaven forbid you should actually go out and make something of yourself, because that's not fair to those who don't do it. And that's the mentality we're going to see. This stuff happens in cycles like this, and people, regardless of how much you think they've evolved, people are still, at their core, extremely selfish. Self-centered, self-serving, selfish individuals. That is who we are if left to our own devices. If there is not a God that intervenes with his spirit in our heart, that is who we become. And government cannot fill that void. So it will be an interesting time ahead. But I digress. Because I must digress. I'm running over time. And I will have an afternoon show today, by the way. I'm looking forward to that. I actually have a day, basically a day off. I have a bunch of stuff to do, but I have a day off. So I'm looking forward to doing this afternoon show. Possibly, chances are, maybe, Rabbi Rick might be on the phone for a few minutes. So we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know. That's a teaser. I haven't even asked him about it. I just talked to him yesterday, but I think he might jump on the phone with me for a few minutes. After this week, I know he's not going to be as busy. He's got a lot going on for this week, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. Once again, folks, God is still on the throne. He's in control and of his kingdom. So let's be a part of that and be at peace. God bless everybody. Have a great day.